Well, God is good. It was great to have Leif sing Joy to the World this morning. Little story. It's okay if I share about last year? So, you know, Joe and Sarah and his family have come down here because of Leif's treatments are in San Francisco a lot. So they're staying with Joe's folks, Dave and Wendy. And so last Christmas up in Fortuna at the Calvary Chapel there, Joe and Leif did that song live for the church last Christmas. And then shortly after that, maybe 2 weeks, Leif was diagnosed with this rare, is it rare form of leukemia or is it just, yeah, it's, and so for the next couple of years, they're going to be in treatments. So here we are a year later. Praise God that you're here. And that Leif, was able to sing that with us. Isn't that neat? Praise God. God is good. Well, if you have a Bible and you want to open to the scriptures, I'm going to read it out loud to you this morning. Oh, by the way, Jeremy and Tara are here. Man. Merry Christmas, you guys. You decided to come up where there's actual weather for Christmas? Down in Phoenix or wherever? Yeah. How are things going? I guess we'll talk later. So Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 says this, and it's such a familiar verse this time of the year, right? For unto us a child is born. I'll wait for you. I know you're some of you want to turn there. No?
Yes.
It looks like you're turning there. Are you faking us out? You're just making it look like you're turning. Yeah. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is toward the Messiah, some 700 years prior to Jesus even being born. When Jesus was born, the angel came to Joseph. In Matthew chapter 1, we have the record. And then in Luke chapter 1, we have the record where the angel came to Mary. So Mary and Joseph, both of them heard from the angel that they were going to have this child that would be the Messiah, and you shall call his name Jesus. They were both told that. You shall call his name Jesus. Now, there's a lot in a name. My parents, bless their hearts. I'm Christopher Robert Blostone. When I was a young child, I was told my parents almost called me Christopher Robin. And for years, I believed that was true until one day I was just thinking about it. I said, wait, my dad's middle name or first name is Robert. So they weren't going to name me Robin. They named me after my father, Christopher Robert. But for years, I believed they were going to name me Christopher Robin. We name our kids for all kinds of reasons, I guess. Multifaceted. Sometimes it's maiden names used as first names, grandmother names, grandfather names, juniors, the thirds. Do we have any of the thirds? Anyone's a third? No? I thought we had a third. Someone's got to have a third.
We'll work on that for you.
Yeah. Bible names, right? Sierra? No, I'm mentioning your Bible names that we name our kids. Benaiah, Micah, Mariah, Elisha. Other ones, that just flipping through our directory. Hannah, Selah, Joseph, Nathaniel, Zechariah, Matthew, Charity, James, Paul, Jeremiah, Gabriel, Michael, Ruth, Rebecca, Sarah. We name our kids names from the Bible. When our first child, Natalie, was born, we liked the name Natalie, so we named her Natalie. And you'd think, well, that means Christmas gifts. So what's her birthday? You know, May or April 10th. April 10th, Christmas in April. So, but we just like the name. We got to be careful what we name our kids, though, right? Here's some real names that I've probably shared before. Facebook, that's a real name of a child. There's a young girl, her name is Hashtag. She was born in 2012. She's now 7 years old. Poor child. We name our children names from the movies and TV shows. These are some names from various shows that are named children. Children are named these names, and a lot of them are bad characters in these movies and TV shows. Khaleesi, Aria, Elaria. I don't even know how to say this. Olena, Kylo from Star Wars. That's a real popular name right now. Cassian, very popular name. Leia has become very popular again, probably because of Star Wars. Non-binary names are very popular right now. Could go for a guy or a girl, right? Briar, Drew, Journey, Robin, Story, Royal. These are all popular names today for kids if you're looking for names for your children. Kim Kardashian. I can't believe I said that name from the pulpit. It's okay. Kim Kardashian and Kanye West. Now, Kanye confessed Christ this year. I don't know if you knew that. He's telling everybody about Jesus. I just stand back and say, what? But Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, they named their children, the first daughter was Northwest. Saint, Chicago, and now this year with Kanye becoming a believer, Psalm West has been born this year. I guess if you get teased over a name, you can just change your name. A lot of people change their names. I know certain people that just in their 20s decided, you know what, I'm changing my name. You can do that, I guess. You don't even have to legally change it. You just start telling people who you are, because a name is an identification and an association. If you meet someone, and this is happening, I kid you not, when I lived in Southern California, I met a guy from the East Coast, and he goes, oh, you live in California. Do you know Lori? She has blonde hair. I said, oh, yeah, no, I know her. Yeah, I'll say hi to her for you. That's just... But you know what? God changes names. God changes names. Abram, the father of our faith, he meant father. And God added the H to his name and said, you've been called Abram. Now you're going to be called Abraham. And many commentators believe that's God hinting that I'm putting the Spirit into your life through anointing. That Spirit means the breath of God. Abraham. His wife, Sarai, changed her name. God changed her name from Sarai, princess, to princess of many, Sarah. So you now have the father of many, the princess of many, Sarah. Jacob, he changed his name from Jacob, which meant deceiver, to Israel, which meant prevails with God or governed by God. That's where the name Israel comes from. Jacob's name was changed by God to Israel. Remember when Jesus called Simon? He said, Simon, you've been named Simon, I'm calling you Peter. He changed his name from Herd, Simon, to Rock, Peter. It's interesting. He promises to change your name, by the way. You get a new name in the end. And God assigns names. He doesn't just change names, he assigns names. He told Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have a child. And they were 90 and 100 years old, and Sarah started to laugh. So you know what God said, name your son? Name him Laughter. Isaac, the chosen one, the one that the Messiah would come through, assigned the name of Isaac. Isaiah, that great prophet, some 600 years before Christ, 600-700 years before Christ, he was given the name from God for his first child, Shir Hashub. It meant the remnant shall return. Now he's a prophet. His second child, see if I can do this, Meher Shalal Hashbaz, and that means speed the spoil. Interesting name for a child, right? Speed the spoil. Judgment is coming quickly. That's what his name means. And then Isaiah's name itself is God is salvation. So in chapter 8 of Isaiah, Isaiah says, "Here I am, Lord, and the children that you've given me, we are for signs and wonders in Israel, and just their names together would be the Lord saves, because judgment is coming and the remnant shall return." And just so you know, that's a great hint to understand all the prophets. The Lord is God, he's our Savior, judgment's coming and the remnant shall return. All just in the names of Isaiah and his children. Hosea was told to marry that prostitute. Remember the book of Hosea, that prophet. What a feat. He married this woman, and their first child was to be named Jezreel, because God was going to judge that guilty city, Jezreel. Their next child would be called Lo-Ruhama, which means no mercy. That was their daughter. And their son, their last son, "Not my people," was his name, Lo-Ami. And all of that to show that God was going to judge his people and then redeem them back to himself. God assigns names. John the Baptist, they came, the angel came to Zechariah and says, "You're going to have a son with Elizabeth, and you're to name him what? John." It means God is gracious. And then the angel came to Mary and Joseph and said, "Name your child. He's going to be the Son of God. Name him Jesus. For he shall be the Savior of his people." Way back in Genesis, Abraham and Sarah are married, and she can't have children. So Abraham takes his maidservant, Sarah's maidservant, and has a child by her. Her name is Hagar, and that begins a lot of family rivalry, as you can only imagine now, because she got pregnant and had a child, Ishmael, and now there's this contention in the family. And so Sarah says, "You need to get rid of Hagar." So Abraham gets rid of Hagar. Hagar is in the middle of nowhere, and God shows up. And she says, "I'm going to call you the God who sees me, Elroy." And God takes that name, Elroy. So that Moses, when he's writing the story down, says Jehovah, that's the name that God revealed to Moses, "I am that I am," there at the burning bush. We translate it Jehovah. He says, "Jehovah appeared to Hagar, and Hagar said, I will call you Elroy, the God who sees me." And it's recorded. There's a lot of names for God that are mixed with Jehovah, the name of God, with the works that he does. And he associates who he is with what he does and what he says. So you have probably the most famous one of those is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. That's the name of God in that passage, Jehovah Jireh, a compound name, God our provider. It's when Abraham was going to offer Isaac on the altar. And Isaac says to him, "Father, we have the wood and the fire, but where's the sacrifice?" And Abraham says, "Don't worry, God will provide himself the sacrifice." He's Jehovah Jireh, God provider, and he absolutely did. That substitute ram was given, and it points to who? God himself, Jesus Christ, who became the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. In the wilderness, another name for God, Jehovah Rapha, it means God our healer, when he healed the waters for them to drink. When Moses built an altar, giving praise to the glory of God for the victory that he had given them, he called God Jehovah Nisi. It means God our victory. The Lord is our banner. Gideon, when God appeared to him, God said, "Peace to you." So Gideon said, "You're Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace." David, writing Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," Jehovah Raha. Jeremiah the prophet, now this is his name, speaking of the Messiah, "The Lord our righteousness," Jehovah Tsidkenu. Ezekiel the prophet sees that great city of God, and the angel speaks to him and says, "This is the name of the city all around it, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there." So that Joel, as a prophet, says, "Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then we flip over the New Testament, and we see that over and over. In Romans, that's quoted. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved there in Romans 10. As they're sharing the gospel in Acts 2, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other name given by which we must be saved. In fact, when the disciples were beaten, the apostles were beaten for sharing that message, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. The name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. All the names of God, by the way, those compound names that I just shared with you, all of them point to Jesus. Jehovah Jireh, God our provider, he provided himself the sacrifice. The Lord our healer, by his stripes we are healed, the scriptures say. The Lord our banner, our victory, the victory that overcomes the world, John says, is this: whoever believes that Jesus is the Son of God. The Lord our peace, Jesus in the cross made peace between God and man. And of course, the Lord our shepherd. I am the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep, Jesus said. The Lord our righteousness. Paul says, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, absolutely true. You shall call his name Jesus. The virgin shall bear a child, and you shall call his name what? Emmanuel, God with us. As Terry was saying, it's true. We celebrate this, that God is here with us even right now because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. We have fellowship with God restored. Jesus conquering sin and death on the cross for you and I. That great substitute for us. And again, as I've talked so many times lately here on Sunday mornings, God didn't sit on the throne in heaven and say, now who's going to go and save man? I'm not going, you go, Jesus. There's one God. There's one God that chose to be the Savior for mankind and became a man in Jesus Christ. God himself became our sacrifice. God himself is the one that provided the victory to conquer sin and death so that we could have life and righteousness in Jesus Christ. So you shall call his name Jesus. So here's the story. When Moses was in the wilderness and he was training his assistant, Hoshea was his name. It means salvation. And Moses said, actually, I'm going to change your name to Hoshea Jehovah. Jehovah Hoshea, which means Joshua when it's all pushed together into one name, Joshua, which in Greek is translated Jesus. So Jesus, the name is Yehoshua or Joshua, the Lord is our salvation. So you shall call his name Jesus and Emmanuel, God is with us. But I want you to turn to a verse with me. It's in Psalm 138 and verse 2. If you want to keep your finger there in Isaiah, we're going to come back to that. Psalm 138, verse 2. I'm not going to keep you along this morning, but if you want to turn there, Psalm 138, we're going to read verse 2. And you might have a different translation than mine. Mine is the New King James Version, and yours might say this a little differently, but I want you to see this morning. Psalm 138, verse 2, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name. Right in the middle of verse 2, Psalm 138, verse 2, for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. Now, yours might say it a little differently. Yours might say something like the NIV, I think the ESV, it's something like this. For your loving kindness and your truth are magnified from your word and from your name, something like that. But the sense in this language is this: you have magnified your word above all your name. And let me ask you, what do you think that means? You've magnified your word above your name. God's name is highly exalted, the Lord. our provider, our victory, our righteousness. He's here with us. But always associated with what he does and what he says. And so the psalmist here says this, you have magnified your word above your name. What is a name? A name is an identification and an association. So if you just hear about someone, well, you've met Dave. No, I don't know Dave. Who's Dave? He's that guy. Oh, Dave. You don't know Dave yet. What you need to do is go talk with Dave and hear about what he does and his family and his ministry desires and all those things. And then you hear about what he's gone through in his life experiences. And you begin to say, oh, I know Dave, because you're taking his name and associating it with what? His family, other people you know that know Dave, the things that he says, the things that he does. And this is what God does with his name. And so the psalmist is identifying this truth. That the things that God says and God's done and what he's doing and what he promises to do, these things are what give definition to his name. In other words, the word of God reveals the heart of God in the name of God. That's why his name is exalted, is because we have his word. The word of God reveals the heart of God in the name of God. Again, the word of God speaking the revelation of who God is what we hold to when we use his name. His works and his words show who he is, and so we have his name defined in his word. His name is not a magic spell. Like if you pray and you forget to add, in Jesus' name, amen, it's like, oh, well, heaven's not going to answer because you didn't say the words right. Remember when I was a young Christian, I met a young gal, and she goes, oh, Chris, you have to pray in the name of Jesus of Nazareth or the demons won't respond correctly. And I thought, wait, so you believe the name of Jesus is like a magic spell? Like in the movies, you know, when the demon's attacking the person, he finally reaches to the cross and holds the cross up and suddenly there's smoke and the demon's burning because the power of that amulet, you know, or whatever. It's TV, it's movies, it's not reality. There's no power in that. So if we use the name of God that way, well, I say I'm a Christian, so I go to heaven. It's not true. We hold to the name of God by faith in how God has revealed himself to us. Our Savior, our righteousness, our peace. He's the one that gives you joy and hope and life. And so we say, yes, Jesus, and it means all that God's revealed to us in his name. We speak his name by faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So he says, you've magnified your word above your name. Well, if you're still in Isaiah chapter 9, if you kept your finger there, then great. If not, you got to go back there. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Speaking of the coming Messiah, he says this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now remember, they did not understand the full implications of what they wrote, the prophets, what they wrote concerning the Messiah. They really didn't understand the implications here. That God would become human and remain completely divine, that great mystery. The birth of Christ is the greatest mystery of all humanity. The caveat of all mankind was the coming of Christ. No one can understand that. Well, Chris, I'll explain it to you. Yeah, please do. I've got a few years. Explain it to me. How did God become a man? I believe it's true, and I believe he saved me, that he lived his life in the new humanity of a born-again human being so that I could have life in him. I understand the gift. I understand the concept. But how that happened, how God, who holds every atom together, who spoke the worlds into existence, very light itself, let there be light, and there was light because of the power of God's word coming out of his mouth, that God became a human so that he could save you? So that I could wake up in the morning and say, good morning, Lord, and not have to only say, good Lord, it's morning, right? We enjoy him. It's just amazing. It's mind-blowing, and that's why we worship him. So unto us a child is born, we get that part, but unto us a son is given. It wasn't like all of a sudden God had a son. This is God the Son from all eternity. The very nature of God is that triune nature. So the Son of God was given. And the government, it says, will be upon his shoulder. Now, there's a great mystery, and we don't have a lot of time this morning, but I just want to mention that to you, that you know when that is very visible, that Jesus Christ became our great King, is when the cross was laid upon his shoulder, and he bore our sin as our representative to God, our great King and priest. Just like you and I, as a human, he took on the weight of our sin and paid for it there on the cross. Surely, the government for you and I to reign with him was laid upon his shoulders that day in the cross. But going on, and his name will be called, and at first glance you might think, well, these aren't names, these are titles. But the scriptures say right here, and his name will be called, like we talked about, that compound name of his works and his word, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Filled with description, filled with glory and authority. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor. Have you ever just needed to talk with someone and get some counsel? Chris, I feel like, yeah, you know, you should. You should get some counsel. But you know what's amazing is when you get wonderful counsel. You know, when you're going through something and you don't know anybody that's gone through what you're going through, and you meet someone and you just happen to start sharing and they go, oh, I had that. I went through that. Has this happened yet? And you're like, yes! That's happening. Suddenly, their counsel is golden. So, God associates himself with this name, the Wonderful Counselor. God gives you wonderful counsel all the time, always. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And guess what his name is? Paracletus, it means counselor. The counselor, the helper, the comforter will come to you and he'll come right alongside of you. Christian, listen, whatever you're going through today, whatever thoughts are going on in your mind, whatever experiences, whatever brokenness, whatever excitement and desires, all of that, God comes alongside of you and says, I will give you the wonderful counsel that you need. Turn to me, ask me, and listen. It's beautiful. It's who God is. He's our wonderful counselor. And he goes on to say, Mighty God. And the scriptures make it very clear, as you look at the power of God is to be our strength. Paul, in his great weakness there in 2 Corinthians 12, said this, you know, in my weakness, I said, God, please take this away. And Jesus came to me. He says this, 2 Corinthians 12, he says, Jesus came to me and said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul said, well, then there it is. Then I'll glory in my weaknesses, because when I am weak, then I am strong, because it's his strength. And he tells the church, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, our great mighty God, the almighty God, is your strength. He gives you wonderful counsel. He gives you strength to stand when you know you can't. Anybody feel like you've gone through something where you say, I can't stand? You know what? God says, let me stand with you. Praise God for that. He goes on to say, Everlasting Father. Now, isn't this a mystery? The Messiah's name will be the Everlasting Father. Now, again, they didn't understand the fullness of the Trinity. Who does? But the idea is this. God the Father is going to be the Messiah. God is going to be our Messiah, the Everlasting Father. And the emphasis is this, not just a father to us, like a fatherly figure, but the Heavenly Father, the Everlasting Father. Everlasting means really in quality, not only in regards to time. Something might last forever, But for it to be everlasting, it means the quality of that is such that it would never fade away. And this is the quality of who God is. The very nature of who he is, all of his character traits, everything about God lasts forever because that's the value and the kind of God that he is, the only true and living God. Do you understand? You have everlasting life. That doesn't mean that, well, I get to go to heaven. It's true. But the emphasis is this. The life you had before you came to Christ was empty and temporary and would not last. Amen? It's not lasting. Every time I go to the doctor, they're burning something off of me. It's like, why do you have to do that? You know, because it's not going to last. Eventually, we all go the way of the earth. But the ways of God are everlasting. So the life that I now have in Christ, even though this body were to die, the life that I now have in him is the kind that lasts forever. The joy that God gives me never fades away. The peace is beyond understanding forever. It's that great. So that's the everlasting Father. Not just that the Father ever exists, but that all of his goodness never stops. His faithfulness endures forever. He doesn't fade. There's nothing temporary about the love, mercy, goodness, and glory of the Lord, both now and forever. And it goes on to say, Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace, that great authority that God has. In the kingdom, the prince is the one that acts out the edicts of the throne. So the decree is made from the throne, and the prince acts it out. Do you know what God did? He became the Prince of Peace. The very peace of God was acted out to us in Christ. As the representative of the throne, he came and said, Peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. The word is shalom. Isaiah 26:3, I mentioned this a few weeks ago. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you. In Hebrew, there's no exclamation point. So there's not a lot of things like that. So they have to work their language to give the emphasis. And the emphasis is this. A duplication of a word is like adding an exclamation point. So he says, you shall keep him in shalom, shalom, perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon you. This is the peace God has for us. It's shalom, that complete, total wellness of being forever. Perfect peace. Shalom, shalom is declared over the believer in Jesus Christ, the very peace of God. He himself is our peace who has made us one in Christ, Ephesians says. Well, like I said, I don't want to keep you long this morning, but I have a question for you. What name do you take? What's your name? Now, this is interesting, and I want you to turn with me here to Revelation, the last book in the Bible. If you're on your phones, you click on the last one in the list of the books on the Bible. Revelation chapter 2, these beautiful seven letters that the Lord Jesus recited for the churches. He's speaking to the church of Pergamos there in verse 17. As he finishes the instruction to them, verse 17, he says this, he who has an ear, so we're in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. God's going to give you a new name, and no one knows what that name is yet until you receive it. Look at the next chapter, chapter 3, and verse 12. Again, as he's finishing up the exhortations to the church in Philadelphia, verse 12 of chapter 3, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him, listen to this, I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So not only is God going to give you a new name, but he's going to write on you his new name. And if you look at Revelation chapter 19, when the Lord returns, in verse 11 of chapter 19 in Revelation, now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. There's another label. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. This is the Lord Jesus in his second coming. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knew except himself. Now, there's a lot to say about this, but let me just say this. Jesus gets a new name that no one knows but him in the end of the age. And he's going to write his new name upon you and then give you a new name. Now, what do we know about God? God does a lot of compound names. So what you get is a new name that contains his name. And this is your new identity. What's your name? Oh, I'm Chris Jesus. Right. Well, we'll put Jesus first. Jesus Chris. Right. No. But check it out. If that were true, if that was my new name, Chris Jesus, you'd think, oh, well, you're associated with Jesus then. Absolutely. That's what it is. It's an association. And it's an identification. I belong to him. I am his. I am with him. I was meant to be with him. I was named for that purpose. It's all filled with definition and glory. Simply by God telling us, hey, don't forget, you've given your life to me. You've become born again in me. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep you forever. And just so everyone knows you're mine, here's your new name, and it's got my name in it. Here you go. Now, that's beautiful. Christian, I want to encourage you with this. Don't be ashamed of the name of Jesus. He's given himself for you. Before I was a Christian, I was into Eastern religions, you know this, mostly Taoism and Hinduism and Buddhism and all these things, and I thought I was finding God. I would tell everybody, I'm finding God. But I had pushed Jesus Christ away. I did not want to be associated with Jesus. If anyone ever came to me and talked about Jesus, I'd say, oh, how plastic and Western of you. I just rejected him completely until God showed up that day in that goofy church that I visited. God showed up and said, Chris, do you want me or not? You see, the whole thing was this. I wanted the idea of God, but I didn't want to be associated with Jesus. So what I was saying is this. I want to have a God, but not the God, because that causes persecution. And I said yes to Jesus right then, and guess what? I now belong to Jesus. Each and every one of us, this is it. We can belong to Jesus. If you've never said yes to Jesus Christ, if you've never got it and said, okay, I get it, I need a Savior. You're right, Chris, my life is empty. I need you to fill me, Lord. I need to have new life in you. Then you can do that right now. And Jesus will say, you're mine forever. You're never getting away. Don't be ashamed of the name of Jesus. Would you stand with me, please? Lord Jesus, I thank you that you've given us the calling, Lord, to be associated with you. You associated yourself with us. It's that great mystery. Lord, why? Because you love us. Even while we were your enemies, you died for us. I didn't know I needed you to save me, but you made sure everything was taken care of so that I could be saved by you. And Lord, to think that you have called us to be your light to this world, that we get to share your name with others. Lord, give us your boldness. Lord, that great confidence that comes from our association with you, Lord Jesus, your great power, your victory, your hope, your peace. So go before us, Lord, and direct our lives in the power of your Spirit.